This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
They're an arrogant, ingrown, close-knit brotherhood like the Mafia. They're the product of a sick society. To hell with tomorrow. Their bag is today. Their bag is right now.
Welcome to Ben and Woods.
Oh, the hair on my neck just straight up.
With Ben Higgins.
Thank God all these bottles I popped. All this paper I've been getting. All these models I popped.
Stephen Woods.
It's my job to pull that demon out of Ben Higgins. And I will do it.
And Paul Reindel.
Oh my God.
It's Ben and Woods.
Oh, I do. It came to love shit too.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Good morning, everybody. Can everybody hear me okay back at the mothership?
Yes, we can. Hi. Welcome back. Hello.
It's good to be back. We are Ben and Woods reunited again. So listen, this is a real throwback Thursday, a throwback to the days where I actually broadcast on the radio. It has been exactly 1 week since I've cranked it up, and glad to be here with you guys. Now, this is a bit. People are saying, Woods looks really sick. He's in a bathrobe. I was doing a bit, and the bit is bad because I'm hot. I'm very, very hot. I actually got up. I showered this morning. I'll put my hat on so I look normal. And there's the Woods that you know and love. The bit was not going to make it past, like 2 seconds. This robe is made of very thick material. And so if you're not watching on the YouTube feed, I was fully dressed in a robe and look very disheveled. I probably don't sound great, but I feel much, much better. And again, let me start the show by introducing my co-hosts that absolutely saved my ass the last couple of days. Paulie Reindel, the executive producer. Thank you to Paulie and Benjamin Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor. Thank you to you as well, Benjamin. I left you guys in the lurch, man, in the lurch, and I felt terrible about it.
Well, we're very glad to have you back. I would love to get a complete update on what's been going on since we last spoke to you on the air last Thursday, but I do want to ask you, where did you get that robe? I mean, looks like it's from the movie Finding Nemo, like a heavy terry cloth style robe that you were wearing on our stream to start the show.
This is one of my many Ambien Instagram purchases. I can't remember the name of the brand, but I bought it. I saw it. It's El Garibaldi is the brand. And it's the baddest robe on the beach. It's from California Cowboy, designed in California, made in China. So you know it's good.
Like that robe that's like the final boss into like going full dad mode.
Dude, it's worse than that. You know what it is? This is oh, I just got divorced, and this is my robe that I wear around the house. I actually wore this. We did Halloween a couple years ago. Hannah goes, you need a costume. And I said, all right. So I wore this, no shirt underneath. And I went as your mom's new boyfriend was my bit. And it slayed. It slayed. People are like, what are you dressed as? I'm like, oh, I'm her new boyfriend. And they're like, that makes sense. So, it was an awful couple of days, without you. You all, in a job like this, we talked last week, Benny, about the Ernie Johnson, you know, our job is such a get to job. Yeah, man. I did not like being sick the last few days. It's, you're sick, number one, but you also have the guilt of like, oh, my teammates are out there fighting the battles and I'm here. Hope they're great. That guilt that kicks in when you're out. And I have it so bad. And so yesterday I woke up and I go, all right, man, I called Adam as soon as I woke up and I said, I'm coming back. And he said, not quite, not quite. You're going to have to ride this one out. So we figured this out. Paulie dropped this off at the house yesterday. Paulie, you don't feel ill or anything at all, do you?
No, I think we did a good job of still distancing.
We did.
You didn't lick him when you dropped off the equipment or anything?
When I pulled up, Woodsy came out and I was sucking on the doorknob. yeah. You know.
So this is, for those of you that haven't seen, I'm in my office here. My kids are already out running around. They're off to school soon. But it's good to be back, dude. It's such a load off to be back. Now, this is the crazy part. So you guys know I, went to Joshua Tree for a couple days, with our friend Jack the mailman from, Los Angeles. We met up in Joshua Tree and we stayed at Joshua Tree Thursday night. And Friday night, we both came home Saturday. I was home on Saturday morning by 9:30. So that should give you an idea of, like, I didn't do anything Friday night. I went to bed at 8 p.m. on Friday night, sober as a judge. As a judge. Got home at 9:30, spent the entire day with my kids, had a beautiful day. Sunday woke up, was like, I don't feel great. I don't feel great, but I'll get through it. I still have a whole nother day to recover. Monday comes around, I'm like, I'm dying. So I went to urgent care, I told you guys, and they tested me and found out I had COVID. This is the crazy part. I talked to Jack yesterday. Do you know how many days he's been to work since we went to Joshua Tree? Zero. Has not worked one single day. And I go, dude, you're kidding. He has something called trigger finger. Have you ever heard of this?
No. Well, I mean, yes, but not in the sense of you can get ill from it.
Right. So what does he do for a living? He collates, sorts mail. He has trigger finger. His hands are frozen, right? And so he cannot use his hands. He's had this before. He had to get shots in his hands. He's like, I thought it was gone. The same day I got sick, he woke up with trigger finger and has not been able to move his hands. So he has also not been to work. He will not be back at work until June 1st. I'm at least back semi at work, you know, here in the Woods Cave. But I'm like, what the hell happened to us? So we've got a couple of theories. One, we went to the Integratron. All right. And for those of you that don't know what the Integratron is, join the club because I didn't really know what it was either. But it's this weird place that was allegedly designed by
aliens.
Extraterrestrials. Yes. In 1957, for this guy, they said that they snatched him up. They downloaded this info into him. He then built the Integratron. You go inside. It's the most acoustically perfect place on the planet, essentially. There's a magnetic field there. You stand in the middle. You can. I stood in the middle of this room, Ben, and I see your face, and I see you don't believe me. But I'm standing in the middle of this room, and I'm doing this. No one can hear it except for me. Jack's looking at me going, I can't hear it. And I'm going, It's the weirdest place you've ever seen. At one point, we are laying down, preparing for our sound bath, and we are having a conversation. Someone in the room can hear every word we're saying. It's bouncing off the walls and going to them. So I said this at one point. Jack, who keeps talking to us? Somebody's listening to our conversation. The guy says, God. And I looked up, I looked around, you know, everyone's laying flat on their back. It was one of the weirdest, coolest experiences I've ever had in my entire life. So maybe it was the curse of the Integratron. Also, there was a man at the Joshua Tree Saloon. I would, if I had to guess, I would say he's 130 years old. And he was sitting at the bar, and we looked at him, and Jack said, "That's a corpse." And Jack took a picture. Jack took a picture of him, and Jack Instagrammed it, and I think he put a curse on us. And so now we have been cursed by Joshua Tree. I don't know that I'll ever go back again, because now neither of us have worked. He's taken our jobs from us, and but it was such an elite trip, such a fun trip, up until, you know, we both got cursed, but... Very, very interesting stuff. I have oodles of other stories if you want, but I just missed you guys. It's good to see you. How did everything go without me?
Everything went smoothly, I thought, the last couple of days. Obviously, a couple of Padres wins to talk about, which was pleasant and enjoyable. We had Skip Schumacher on the show, which I felt bad doing without you. It's like I felt like it's not the same if Woods is not here. To give Skip all of his, you know, weird compliments that he gives him during the interview. But we tried our best to, you know, just muddle through without you.
Well, I really did miss you guys. I missed the tier ones. And somebody said, where to go? Now I believe in curses. Oh, buddy, I've been on the curse train now for over a year. I mean, there's no way that curses aren't real when you watch the San Diego Padres. There's just no chance. So I have... we've discontinued, I think, the curses aren't real shirts. Probably need to get one that says curses are real. I definitely feel...
Just a t-shirt that says, F it, curses are real.
Yeah, F it. Curses are absolutely real. But so does this sound like normal? I don't want this to become like a habit because I could get used to this.
Honestly, I don't think anyone would ever know if you didn't have your guitars behind you. We could pull this off like you were in studio. I can see you. You can see us. It sounds really good. Everything is good.
I was waiting for the man. That commute was horrible.
you know me though. As easy as this is, I slept a full extra hour. As easy as this is, I would much rather be sitting there with you guys. And the plan is Monday. I'll be back in live. I see Ben is in his 97.3 The Fan polo, which can only mean one thing. That means there's a round table today. I'll miss the round table. I thought, you know, I want to help. If there's a way I can help, if you want to ask me questions, I can give my answers. You can play them over your phone onto the round table, whatever. I mean, I don't want to, like, beg off this thing entirely because I don't want Adam to get the wrong idea. But it is good to be back.
Well, we can go through some of the round table topics because you won't be on the show to answer them. So it's not like you're going to have to repeat yourself in a few hours, which gives us a little bonus content. We can do that. I thought maybe like at 7:30, I can go through some of the early roundtable questions just for you, Woods, and we can talk about the San Diego Padres and Mike Schilt. Obviously, I feel like the Padres right now, and we'll get into this today. They're your typical glass that is exactly half full, and as a fan. It's a test. You're looking at this half full glass and going, all right, is that half full or half empty? Are the Padres a good team or are the Padres a bad team? And you look at that glass and it really is whatever you want it to be right there for the San Diego Padres. And you're not wrong, whatever your opinion is on this team right now.
Yeah, I see a lot of takes and I even the ones I disagree with, I'm like, I disagree, but I don't disagree that vehemently with some of the takes out there. I have encountered some exhausting threads over the last couple of days about this team. And I don't know, man, like I think my mind works in a negative way sometimes. And I try to train it to not, I don't want to be 100% positive because you can't be about this team, but I it's got to be exhausting for some of you out there that just they hate everything. Every single thing this team does, you know, is if they win by three, you should have won by six, you know, and that's fine. It's just an exhausting way to live, exhausting way to fan. But listen, to each their own. I'd love to talk about it. I want to talk about roller coasters and I want to talk about rides today, certainly, because I listened to the Mike Schilt presser yesterday. We'll have the Skip on tomorrow. And I'd like to ask him about rides, you know, because I thought about it long and hard. Is he right? Was he right? We'll play the audio, I'm sure, of his exchange about roller coasters yesterday. Is he right that it isn't, in fact, a roller coaster and that it is perhaps maybe a carousel, which is the most boring ride at the fair? It's when you're 30 and 29, is that really a roller coaster? Or is that just a lame carousel?
I think that's a really good question. And we will talk about amusement park rides during the roundtable as well later today. It's my seventh inning stretch question. What's your favorite amusement park ride based on the roller coaster conversation? You see, now you're more in my head than you think you are, because I was thinking along those exact same lines. But I think we got some good topics for the show today. We'll set the menu when we come back, and then we'll get into yesterday's game a little bit. Obviously, one of the uglier ones of the season, but as Mike Schilt will be very quick to point out, it was a series victory, and you can't take that away from the San Diego Padres, even though they lost yesterday. So we will talk all about it, let you know about our guests. We do have something a little special coming up at the end of the program as well. Wow. We need to kind of plan how we're going to get into that in our 9 o'clock hour, but that's all for then. This is now. Kelly's got traffic. We've got Woods back, and we're very happy to see him. He looks somewhat healthy, like he's recovered from a week of isolation. But either way, happy to have him back with Ben Woods, Paul Reindel on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you're looking for a baseball team on a hot streak, congratulations to the Tier 1s. Another win last night, even without Woodsy. Substitute manager Paul Reindel leading the team to a, 13-3 victory I saw last night at Escondido High School. Congratulations.
13-3 win.
How many in a row is that? I feel like you've won a bunch lately.
It's got to be at least three in a row.
Yeah, we're on a little bit of a roll here. It was a tight ball game yesterday. It was 1-1, and then we were down 3-1, and then we just exploded, rattled off 12 straight runs, and that was all she wrote.
And Paulie FaceTimed me. I FaceTimed him in the middle, and we were going over strategy. It was the best baseball I watched yesterday.
Maybe you should be doing that with Mike Schilt during the Padres games. Just FaceTime him during the middle of the game. Turn things around. Padres were down 3-1 yesterday. They did not explode with 10 runs to win. In fact, they went the other way. So perhaps all that was missing was a Woods FaceTime in like the fourth inning.
I don't know that our stars on the tier ones are as, I don't know that his stars are as scared of him as our stars are of me. Does that make sense?
Yeah, a little bit.
Because he's not going to go into the media and blast his stars, and I will. I will. I have no problem doing that. But then again, my job is completely stable. I'll have this job as the manager for as long as I want it. I run the team, so I'm not going to fire myself ever. Trust me. So I think the job stability has a lot to do with it.
You're like owner slash GM slash manager.
Correct.
There's really no one with authority to fire you at this point.
That's correct. That's correct.
That is job security. That's for sure.
It is. Yeah, you can beat me. You can do whatever you want, but it's gonna be. I'm gonna be calling the shots, and I'm gonna air you out if you don't, you know, do the right stuff. Now that's a fundamental difference in my managing style v Mike Schilt's managing style.
Well, we're certainly going to talk about Mike Schilt, the manager, and yesterday's game. Yu Darvish, another rough outing, his second bookended on the homestand. The first game against the Yankees, the last game against the Marlins, both tough Yu Darvish starts after his great streak and maybe some injury concerns as well. So we'll talk about that coming up in our Padres wrap-up in our next segment. 7 o'clock, it's a Throwback Thursday, so we'll play a little Real or Fake. We've been playing Padres Real or Fake this week. It's been a lot of fun, so I'm going to bring it back one more day at least until Take on Woods returns tomorrow for a chance to qualify for a trip to Las Vegas, two nights, and concert tickets as well. So that's coming up in our 7 o'clock segment. Of course, Don't Do This always comes at 7:20. If you think that the Padres can be sometimes frustrating and bad, just be glad you're not a New York Mets fan right now. That now there is an organization with some real problems at the moment.
Yeah.
So we'll talk.
It does give me a little bit of solace. A little bit of solace.
We'll talk
for all of the comparisons that our team and the Mets have had over the last couple of years, to see them go in one direction and us thankfully go in the complete opposite, I'm fine with that.
Which is funny. It's still baseball, and as bad as the story is right now with the New York Mets, and it's bad. It's injuries. It's mutiny. It's bad behavior. I don't think the mood on a team could be any worse. They're like 5.5 games behind the Padres in the standings. That's like 1 week, and everything could still change for the New York Mets at this point in the season. It doesn't feel like it's going to, but that's what happens in baseball. The St. Louis Cardinals were, 15-24 like a couple of weeks ago, and now they're back to 500 and just a half a game out of a playoff spot. So I think that is kind of the point that we're talking about here. It's that you can't really assume your team is anything, because in 3 weeks, it could be something completely different. You know, a month from now, the Padres could be looking like one of the best teams in the National League, and they could be looking like a complete also-ran, depending on what happens over these next few weeks. And that's still true of just about every team in baseball at this point.
Well, I think the trends, though, you have to look at the trends. You got to look at the injuries that are racking up for the Mets. You got to look at the clubhouse. You got to look at the new manager and what he's doing and not doing. And I, you know, like you say, obviously you keep that window open that anything's possible, but holy smokes, man, with a new GM, with a, you know, what, second year owner that has thrown a lot of money at a lot of problems. And then the leadership or lack thereof in the clubhouse. I mean, look at Frankie Lindor the other day. I'm sure you guys talked about him watching strike three the other day. I've never seen anything like that in baseball. I mean, saying I couldn't pick up the spin. I was looking for a walk. That guy makes a lot of dough. Not that our superstars are world beaters right now by any stretch, but man, there's a different mentality in that clubhouse. And I think if you're David Stearns and you're Mr. Cohen, I think you look at it and go, is this going to get better? Is it really going to get better in 3 weeks? And if not, you got to adjust accordingly.
Well, I get it. It doesn't look like it's going to. It looks very bleak right now. But I promise you, 3 weeks ago in St. Louis, they were saying, you know, talking
they
about
were.
Firing Ollie Marmol. Everyone seemed to be spinning out. This was a team that apparently last year was an indication that this franchise is going in the wrong direction. And maybe they still are, but they've been playing some of the best baseball in the National League over the last couple of weeks. So it does change a lot in baseball. And we'll discuss all of that as we continue our talk in the first half of the show. Second half is guest time on Ben and Woods. It's Thursday, which means a smart baseball segment with Eno Saris from The Athletic at 8:35, a Rytle report at 9 o'clock, and then at 9:30, we have something a little bit different. And if you remember, before Woodsy went off on his Joshua Tree excursion, he came up with this piece of a video and audio last week from what year was it? 1986?
86.
A VHS tape that you could rent called Rent a Friend. And we played some of this really hard to believe audio that people would actually, like, they would rent it and watch on their TV, like someone just talking
minutes.
To them.
43 minutes.
Hi, I'm Sam, and basically I'm here because I want to be your friend. How's that sound?
Terrible.
Great. I'm in a really good mood, and I hope you're feeling good, too, because this
not.
Is, this
I just
is really
ordered
neat.
A VHS because I have no friends.
I've been looking
so
forward to this moment
great.
For quite some time. I mean,
so
I'm not doing
I'd like
well.
To do it so. For you, right?
Yeah.
That's
the sound he likes to make.
By the way, Jack and I did that in the Integratron. Just so you know, we did that sound in the Integratron. That actually
happened. So because Paul Reindl is the best producer in the world, he has tracked down Rent a Friend. He still is out there, still is alive, and we will be joined by Rent-A-Friend, Sam, who is actually an actor named Ben Hollis,
yep.
Coming up at 9:35 this morning to just ask some questions about what on earth was he thinking? How many of these did he sell / rent? Like, is this his legacy going forward? I have a million questions for Ben Hollis, and we will hopefully get some of them answered at 9:35 today.
I want to ask him about what sports, you know, he lives in Chicago, so is he, we'll talk Chicago sports with him, I mean, great place to talk sports. Is there a liner he can read for us, Paulie, that you can, like, send him? I want him to do, like, hey, this is Sam from Rent-A-Friend, you're listening to Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan. Is there something we can do there?
I think that's the line, we'll just ask him to say that.
Ben and Woods wants to be your friend? Will you be their friends? Something like that. Let's come up with one. During the break and have him actually read it for us live on the air.
It's going to be amazing. All I can say, I reached out to him and we got in touch. He actually called me the other day to set up today's interview, and I'm sitting there and I'm talking to him. I'm kind of walking around my house, and obviously that video is damn near 40 years old.
Yeah.
So he has aged, but the cadence and his voice, like I felt like I was watching the video again. I was like, all right, would 9:35 Pacific work for you on Thursday? And he just goes, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I'm like, oh my Sounds God. Good. I'm like sitting there freaking out. I'm like, this is insane. I can't wait for this.
I can't wait.
So however the rest of today's program goes, we have that to look forward to coming up at 9:35 in our final segment. And then I'll transition over to a roundtable at 10 o'clock. And Woodsy will get off scot-free this week on the roundtable. And hopefully he'll be back next Thursday. But that's what we've got for you. We'll start with our Padres wrap-up and talk about some of the more serious bits of yesterday's 9-1 loss to the Miami Marlins. Play some of that. And by the way, there's actually more sound that I didn't even realize from Mike Schilt after the game that was not on the postgame telecast either. So we're going to have all of that, the interactions between him and AJ Cassavell and Kevin Acey after the game. And whether you agree or disagree with Mike Schilt's perspective, we'll talk about it all coming up next with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. So, Woods, you weren't here yesterday, but I made a fairly big deal about how I wanted to see the Padres come out and, you know, step on the Miami Marlins and finish off a sweep, something they have not done to any team all season long. They've had a couple of opportunities where they've won the first two games of a series, and then not won that last game. And what I saw on Tuesday, to me, and apparently I was dead wrong, or maybe give credit to Skip Schumacher for rallying his team, but I saw a team at the end of a West Coast road trip that looked like they were ready, some quick at-bats, maybe ready just to get on a plane and get back to Miami. And I looked at that and I said, these are the kind of games you do have to win. You do have to finish off a series and sweep. I'm not the guy that I think Mike Schilt is worried about that says, hey, if you don't sweep every series, if you don't win every game, you're doing something wrong. I promise I'm a reasonable baseball fan. And I don't ride that roller coaster. I understand that the best teams are going to lose 60 plus games over the course of a season. So I'm not going to fly off the handle. But yesterday, you know, going into the game, I felt like that's one I would like to see the Padres come out and really just give the Marlins no hope. And instead, it went a very different direction. And we can talk about the game, but, you know, I had a lot of people who were tweeting me and going, boy, that did not go the way that you foresaw it going, Ben. That was not what we were expecting after listening to the show yesterday.
I couldn't agree more. And had I been in yesterday, I would have thought the exact same thing. Now, you know, Skip has had his team playing a lot better before they came into San Diego, certainly. But, you know, when you decimate that, you know, when you beat Lizardo and you shut that team out, and, you know, you piece together that horribly ugly win from the other day, and you got this team on the ropes, and they are a wounded dog. And sometimes you got to put that dog out of its misery and leave it to the San Diego Padres to come out and lay a complete and total egg. And you know what? Like, the defense let you down early. Obviously, there was something going on with you as well. But, man, that stunk. It stunk. The ABs were terrible. And I was watching in my car at pickup for Bo yesterday when the game started, and I'm sitting there going, all right, here we go again. A guy in Braxton Garrett that, you know, Tony was making the point, yeah, his 92 looks about 102 because his changeup's 82, and that makes sense. But I feel like they see the three of these guys a week, you know, easily. You just replace Braxton Garrett for another thumber that seems to own the San Diego Padres, and you got to beat that guy yesterday. You have to. You got to win that series. You got to sweep that series. And Nick in the chat says it, and I texted you guys this yesterday. Look, Mike Schilt sets the bar low. All he expects is a series win, which is fine for most teams, but bottom tier teams need to be swept. And I texted you guys the same thing. Look, when you come out in your press conference, I guess, and say, well, listen, you know, we won the series. I get that that's what you have to do. You have to. You can't rail your team ever for winning a series, right? Every fan agrees that you can't go in and rail your team for winning a series. That would be stupid to do. But it can't just be, well, we won the first two games. Let's cruise until, there's got to be a change in mentality a little bit. And I don't know where it starts. I don't think Mike Schilt thinks that way. I, in fact, knowing him the little bit that I do, I know he doesn't think that way. Going on and saying, well, at least we won the series, though. It sounds like something Ben would say, or it sounds like something I would say, right? Like, that's something that we would say. Hey, could be worse. Could have lost the series. We didn't. We won it. You got drubbed, too. You didn't even compete. That's the tough part. You're out of it.
Yeah, we'll get into some of the specifics of the game yesterday, and here's some of the Mike Schilt post-game audio coming up in our Padres wrap-up right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
It's a shame if they lose.
Oh, a shame indeed.
It's a complete crap.
Oh, I did not like that.
Here are the lowlights from yesterday's game.
Are you kidding me?
Boo.
It's the Padres wrap-up, presented by Hummel Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hummel Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
We'll give it 16 minutes of salt and then we'll, you know, get back on the bump and figure it out.
It's not your fault.
1-1 pitch lined into the right center field gap. Tatis on the move. Overran it, gets over his head, and the Marlins going to take the lead as Gordon comes in to score. Cortes slides feet first into second, and the Fish in front 1-0 here in inning number two. 2-1 pitch hit hard on the ground to the right side off of Cronenworth's glove, ends up behind him. Cortes rounding third, he's going to score, as Tatis picks it up in shallow right, and the Marlins take a 2-0 lead. They called it an RBI single for Jazz Chisholm Jr. And now another 2-2. The pitch on the way. Lopez swings, bounces it to third. In between hop. Manny's got it. Races to throw to first. It goes wide and gets away. Bell's going to come in and score. And the Marlins lead it 3-0. A rare defensive miscue from Manny Machado. Three runs on six hits. Kim sends this one in the air to deep left field. Gordon's back on the track at the wall. Going to go. Home run, Ha-Seong Kim. Number seven. And the Padres are on the board. It's 3-1. Runners lead at first and second. The 1-1 pitch in on the ground through the left side and a base hit. Gordon rounding third. On his way, he's going to score an RBI single for Brujan. And now 6-1 Miami in the fifth inning. Bases loaded, two down. The 0-1 pitch hit hard and a diving stop by Manny towards the line. Throw to first from one knee and he got him! Manny Machado bounces back. A stellar defensive play at third to end the top of the fifth inning. A 1-1 pitch hit in the air to deep right field. An absolute no doubter as it comes down well beyond the old wall in right field. Long home run for Sanchez. His third of the year. His second hit of the day. And the Marlin lead is now 7-1. No balls and a strike to Jazz Chisholm Jr. Had an RBI single back in the second inning. And he hits this one in the air to right center. Fernando long run not going to get there. Bounces down on the grass. Rolls all the way up against the base of the wall. Lopez rounding third on his way. Chisholm heading for third. He'll get there with a head first dive. And an RBI triple to make it 8-1. 1-2. And a pitch to Azokar, hit on the ground right side. To his right, Berger has it. Long underhand flip is in time, and the ball game is over. Scott covering on a bang-bang play at first base. Under different circumstances, perhaps Mike Schilt challenges this one. He will not, and that's all for this May 29th.
Just wasn't very clean. You know, we haven't had many of those. You know, didn't help ourselves. No. Also, they had a pretty good approach. They came in, took some good at-bats against Colwick and De Los Santos. You know, had a nice idea what they were doing there and executed their plan, and got to give them credit for that. But we just weren't clean today, weren't clean enough.
Then it started, early in the game, as Woods mentioned. There were some defensive plays that could have bailed Yu Darvish out in the early innings. Fernando Tatis Jr. not taking a great line on the Fortes liner that got over his head for the first run, and then right after that, the play that Jake Cronenworth, usually I think makes, a hard hit ball by Jazz, but he gets behind him. That leads to another run, and obviously the rare, and when I say rare, I mean rare error by Manny Machado. It was his first since last August on a ball that he just kind of let play him and then rushed the throw. Everybody's going to commit some, so it's okay that it happens, but unfortunately, those three runs off of Yu Darvish, were pretty much the day because, and let's, Yu was not right. Even if he hadn't given up any runs, he's still right. And I say that not because Mike Schilt talked about his hamstring after the game being tight and part of the reason why he came out after, 66 pitches and three innings. You could tell from Yu's face, he wasn't happy with how he was throwing. I mean, just the emotional reaction of that ball didn't go where I wanted it to go again. And he was frustrated out there. You could tell. So whether or not it was turning into runs for the Marlins, you could just see, Woods, that Yu Darvish was not on his game for a second straight start.
Yeah, no question, man. And that's a concern. That's a real, real concern moving forward. I don't know. I don't know how you fix it, Benny. I don't. It's just something as fans you have to kind of deal with it. It doesn't make any sense why you would go out and you feel like with Yu Darvish at 75% that he should be able to handle that lineup, and he got no help. He got no help from his defense. I'm not going to put really any of that on Yu Darvish yesterday. And again, if he's not right and can't land properly or push off properly, his delivery is all out of whack. It makes for a very, very long and frustrating day. So, I can't put it on Yu. I can put it on the defense. I can put it on the offense of just doing nothing against Braxton Garrett, who's not a guy that should ever dominate you. And I know he had a really nice start his last time out. Maybe he's figuring something out, as well. But again, he was missing spots. There was a pitch that Manny missed, that led me to tweet something semi-mean about my favorite player, Manny Machado. So my man's lost right now. It was a cutter up in the zone that Manny Machado of old absolutely deposits into the right center field stands, and he missed it by a mile. And so there's clearly something off with him. Nobody was ready to attack and win that game yesterday at all. It stunk.
Yet the Padres only struck out twice the entire game. I mean, they were putting the ball in play. They just weren't barreling up a lot of balls the way you think they should. And that, for me, is a hard thing to criticize. You know, you take a swing, and unfortunately, you swing a quarter of an inch lower or higher than you should have. Is not something that I can sit here and pick apart and go, ah, you weren't ready for that at bat. You just didn't barrel up the ball. Because I know that's the hardest thing to do in sports. So I'll sometimes give that a bit of a pass. Obviously, the defensive, you know, miscues and just kind of not playing a sharp and clean game. It just was a bad game for the San Diego Padres. Now, the question is, how much should we make out of a game like that? And Mike Schilt was asked some questions in the post-game news conference about not being able to finish off the sweep, about a team that kind of, you know, starts getting into gear, but then seems to sputter a little bit. And I think all those are fair characterizations. But he pushed back, and he pushed back somewhat emotionally from the questioning in the post-game news conference. Here's the audio from after the game.
This season, when you guys have kind of hit some rough patches, you've kind of fought back with resiliency, and then there have been a few times where it looks like you're about to take off and haven't quite hit that gear yet. What do you make anything of that, or is that just
kind of... I kind of take a little exception with that. I really do. I mean, you know, like, every time we lose a game, we can't, like, say it's like there's a rough patch. When we just won a series, I don't get that. I mean, and you win 7 out of 9 series, I get it. We lost. It wasn't a crisp game, but you know, I don't buy into that. I can't support that particular narrative.
Can I clarify then?
You can absolutely
clarify. I
don't
think this was a rough patch. I think you guys were playing pretty good baseball the last 3 games, and
right.
You haven't necessarily been able to kind of really hit that stride that's taken you guys off this season. I'm just wondering if that roller coaster, in your opinion, is just kind of the nature of the.
Again,
of the
I take exception with this roller coaster. I don't. I want to ride every roller coaster I can ever get on, winning 7 out of 9 series. You sign me up for that ride, I'm all on board. Because you know, if you go 6-4 the whole season, you win 96 games. So, I mean, I do understand the question. You talk about taking off, but gosh, man, I don't have a great answer for. For winning 7 out of 9 series, not being good enough.
I mean, that's the only part of it that really bothered me. You know, if you don't want to call it a roller coaster, I think that's fine. But winning 7 out of 9 series is good. It's good. It's not good enough, though. You know, I don't think that should be any leader's mentality. And it's funny because after I was looking at Kevin Acey's piece this morning in the UT, Manny Machado literally called it a roller coaster. He said every year is a roller coaster, and it is. It's absolutely a roller coaster. Let's talk more about it, Don.
We'll talk more about it when we come back.
Maybe play the audio that you didn't see if you were watching on television.
Yes, that's what I a little extra hear. Audio as well, and we'll play a little real or fake. We'll continue this conversation in hour number 2. Do not go anywhere. More Ben and Woods on the way on San Diego's number 1 sports station, 97.3 The Fan. So, Woods, you weren't here yesterday, but I made a fairly big deal about how I wanted to see the Padres come out and, you know, step on the Miami Marlins and finish off a sweep, something they have not done to any team all season long. They've had a couple of opportunities where they've won the first 2 games of a series and then not won that last game. And what I saw on Tuesday, to me, and apparently I was dead wrong, or maybe give credit to Skip Schumacher for rallying his team, but I saw a team at the end of a West Coast road trip that looked like they were ready, some quick at-bats, maybe ready just to get on a plane and get back to Miami. And I looked at that and I said, these are the kind of games you do have to win. You do have to finish off a series and sweep. I'm not the guy that I think Mike Schilt is worried about that says, hey, if you don't sweep every series, if you don't win every game, you're doing something wrong. I promise I'm a reasonable baseball fan. And I don't ride that roller coaster. I understand that the best teams are going to lose 60 plus games over the course of a season. So I'm not going to fly off the handle. But yesterday, you know, going into the game, I felt like that's one I would like to see the Padres come out and really just give the Marlins no hope. And instead, it went a very different direction, and we can talk about the game, but you know, I had a lot of people who were tweeting me and going, boy, that did not go the way that you foresaw it going, Ben. That was not what we were expecting after listening to the show yesterday.
I couldn't agree more, and had I been in yesterday, I would have thought the exact same thing. Now, you know, Skip has had his team playing a lot better before they came into San Diego, certainly. But, you know, when you decimate that, you know, when you beat Lizardo and you shut that team out, and you know, you piece together that horribly ugly win from the other day, and you got this team on the ropes, and they are a wounded dog, and sometimes you got to put that dog out of its misery and leave it to the San Diego Padres to come out and lay a complete and total egg. And you know what, like, the defense let you down early. Obviously, there was something going on with you as well, but man, that stunk. It stunk. The ABs were terrible, and I was watching in my car at pickup for Bo yesterday when the game started, and I'm sitting there going, all right, here we go again. A guy in Braxton Garrett that, you know, Tony was making the point, yeah, his 92 looks about 102 because his changeup's 82, and that makes sense. But I feel like they see the three of these guys a week, you know, easily. You just replace Braxton Garrett for another thumber that seems to own the San Diego Padres, and you got to beat that guy yesterday. You have to. You got to win that series. You got to sweep that series. And Nick in the chat says it, and I texted you guys this yesterday. Look, Mike Schilt sets the bar low. All he expects is a series win, which is fine for most teams, but bottom tier teams need to be swept. And I texted you guys the same thing. Look, when you come out in your press conference, I guess, and say, well, listen, you know, we won the series, I get that that's what you have to do. You have to. You can't rail your team ever for winning a series, right? Every fan agrees that you can't go in and rail your team for winning a series. That would be stupid to do. But it can't just be, well, we won the first two games, let's cruise until, there's got to be a change in mentality a little bit. And I don't know where it starts. I don't think Mike Schilt thinks that way. I, in fact, knowing him the little bit that I do, I know he doesn't think that way. Going on and saying, well, at least we won the series, though. It sounds like something Ben would say, or it sounds like something I would say, right? Like, that's something that we would say. Hey, could be worse. Could have lost the series. We didn't. We won it. You got drubbed, too. You didn't even compete. That's the tough part. You're out of it.
Yeah, we'll get into some of the specifics of the game yesterday, and here's some of the Mike Schilt postgame audio coming up in our Padres wrap-up right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
It's a shame if they lose.
A shame indeed.
It's a complete crap.
Oh, I did not like that.
Here are the lowlights from yesterday's game.
Are you kidding me?
Boo.
It's the Padres wrap-up, presented by Hummel Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hummel Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
We'll give it 16 minutes of salt, and then we'll, you know, get back on the bump and figure it out.
It's not your fault.
1-1 pitch, lined into the right center field gap. Tatis on the move, overran it, gets over his head, and the Marlins going to take the lead as Gordon comes in to score. Cortes slides feet first into second, and the Fish in front 1-0 here in inning number two. 2-1 pitch, hit hard on the ground to the right side, off of Cronenworth's glove, ends up behind him. Cortes rounding third, he's going to score as Tatis picks it up in shallow right, and the Marlins take a 2-0 lead. They called it an RBI single for Jazz Chisholm Jr. And now another 2-2. The pitch on the way. Lopez swings, bounces it to third. In between hop. Manny's got it. Races the throw to first. It goes wide and gets away. Bell's going to come in and score. And the Marlins lead it 3-0. A rare defensive miscue from Manny Machado. Three runs on six hits. Kim sends this one in the air to deep left field. Gordon's back on the track, at the wall, gonna go! Home run, Ha-Seong Kim, number 7. And the Padres are on the board, it's 3-1. Runners lead at first and second, the 1-1 pitch in on the ground through the left side and a base hit. Gordon rounding third, on his way, he's gonna score. An RBI single for Bruján, and now 6-1 Miami. in the fifth inning. Bases loaded, two down. The 0-1 pitch hit hard, and a diving stop by Manny towards the line. Throw to first from one knee, and he got him! Manny Machado bounces back. A stellar defensive play at third to end the top of the fifth inning. A 1 pitch hit in the air to deep right field. An absolute no doubter as it comes down well beyond the old wall in right field. Long home run for Sanchez, his third of the year, his second hit of the day, and the Marlin lead is now 7-1. No balls and a strike to Jazz Chisholm Jr. Had an RBI single back in the second inning, and he hits this one in the air to right center. Fernando long run, not going to get there. Bounces down on the grass, rolls all the way up against the base of the wall. Lopez rounding third on his way. Chisholm heading for third. He'll get there with a head first dive and an RBI triple to make it 8-1. 1-2. And a pitch to Azokar, hit on the ground right side. To his right, Berger has it. Long underhand flip is in time, and the ball game is over. Scott covering on a bang-bang play at first base. Under different circumstances, perhaps Mike Schilt challenges this one. He will not, and that's all for this May 29th.
Just wasn't very clean. You know, we haven't had many of those. You know, didn't help ourselves. No. Also, they had a pretty good approach. They came in, took some good at-bats against Colwick and De Los Santos. You know, had a nice idea what they were doing there and executed their plan, and got to give them credit for that. But we just weren't clean today, weren't clean enough.
Then it started, early in the game, as Woods mentioned. There were some defensive plays that could have bailed Yu Darvish out in the early innings. Fernando Tatis Jr. not taking a great line on the Fortes liner that got over his head for the first run, and then right after that, the play that Jake Cronenworth, usually I think makes, a hard hit ball by Jazz, but he gets behind him, that leads to another run, and obviously the rare, and when I say rare, I mean rare error by Manny Machado. It was his first since last August on a ball that he just kind of let play him and then rushed the throw. Everybody's going to commit some, so it's okay that it happens, but unfortunately, those three runs off of Yu Darvish, were pretty much the day because, and let's, Yu was not right. Even if he hadn't given up any runs, he's still right. And I say that not because Mike Schilt talked about his hamstring after the game being tight and part of the reason why he came out after, 66 pitches and three innings. You could tell from Yu's face he wasn't happy with how he was throwing. I mean, just the emotional reaction of that ball didn't go where I wanted it to go again. And he was frustrated out there. You could tell. So whether or not it was turning into runs for the Marlins, you could just see, Woods, that Yu Darvish was not on his game for a second straight start.
Yeah, no question, man. And that's a concern. That's a real, real concern moving forward. I don't know how you fix it, Benny. I don't. It's just something as fans you have to kind of deal with. It doesn't make any sense why you would go out and you feel like with Yu Darvish at 75% that he should be able to handle that lineup, and he got no help. He got no help from his defense. I'm not going to put really any of that on Yu Darvish yesterday. And again, if he's not right and can't land properly or push off properly, his delivery is all out of whack. It makes for a very, very long and frustrating day. So, I can't put it on Yu. I can put it on the defense. I can put it on the offense of just doing nothing against Braxton Garrett, who's not a guy that should ever dominate you. And I know he had a really nice start his last time out. Maybe he's figuring something out, as well. But again, he was missing spots. There was a pitch that Manny missed, that led me to tweet something semi-mean about my favorite player, Manny Machado. So my man's lost right now. It was a cutter up in the zone that Manny Machado of old absolutely deposits into the right center field stance, and he missed it by a mile. And so there's clearly something off with him. Nobody was ready to attack and win that game yesterday at all. It stunk.
Yet the Padres only struck out twice the entire game. I mean, they were putting the ball in play. They just weren't barreling up a lot of balls the way you think they should. And that, for me, is a hard thing to criticize. You take a swing, and unfortunately, you swing a quarter of an inch lower or higher than you should have. Is not something that I can sit here and pick apart and go, you weren't ready for that at bat. You just didn't barrel up the ball. Because I know that's the hardest thing to do in sports. So I'll sometimes give that a bit of a pass. Obviously, the defensive, you know, miscues and just kind of not playing a sharp and clean game. It just was a bad game for the San Diego Padres. Now, the question is, how much should we make out of a game like that? And Mike Schilt was asked some questions in the postgame news conference about not being able to finish off the sweep, about a team that kind of, you know, starts getting into gear, but then seems to sputter a little bit. And I think all those are fair characterizations. But he pushed back, and he pushed back somewhat emotionally from the questioning in the postgame news conference. Here's the audio from after the game.
This season, when you guys have kind of hit some rough patches, you've kind of fought back with resiliency, and then there have been a few times where it looks like you're about to take off and haven't quite hit that gear yet. What do you make anything of that, or is that just
kind I kind of take a little exception with that. I really do. I mean, you know, like, every time we lose a game, we can't, like, say it's like there's a rough patch when we just won a series. I don't get that. I mean, and you win 7 out of 9 series. I get it, we lost. It wasn't a crisp game, but, you know, I don't buy into that. I can't support that particular narrative.
Can I clarify then?
You can absolutely
clarify. I
don't
think this was a rough patch. I think you guys were playing pretty good baseball the last 3 games, and
right,
you haven't necessarily been able to kind of really hit that stride that's taken you guys off this season. I'm just wondering if that roller coaster, in your opinion, is just kind of the nature of the
baseball. Again, I take exception with this roller coaster. I want to ride every roller coaster I can ever get on winning 7 out of 9 series. You sign me up for that ride, I'm all on board. Because, you know, if you go 6-4 the whole season, you win 96 games. So, I mean, I do understand the question. You talk about taking off, but gosh, man, I don't have a great answer for winning 7 out of 9 series not being good enough.
I mean, that's the only part of it that really bothered me. You know, if you don't want to call it a roller coaster, I think that's fine. But winning 7 out of 9 series is good. It's good. It's not good enough, though. You know, I don't think that should be any leader's mentality. And it's funny because after I was looking at Kevin Acey's piece this morning in the UT, Manny Machado literally called it a roller coaster. He said every year is a roller coaster, and it is. It's absolutely a roller coaster. Let's talk more about it, Don.
We'll talk more about it when we come back.
Maybe play the audio that you didn't see if you were watching on television.
Yes, that's what I a little extra hear. Audio as well, and we'll play a little real or fake. We'll continue this conversation in hour number 2. Do not go anywhere. More Ben and Woods on the way on San Diego's number 1 sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.